Admittedly, this is something a bit slapdash, so please bear with me. A soul. Groping for a melody, hopefully remedy for the malady, a lonely shade of soul wanders. Feeling a hope, maybe a fleeting cure, a solitary fragment of the soul explores. Grasping a miracle, reversing the decrescendo, an unfettered soul celebrates. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. And next we have Linda Agassi.
This poem was inspired by the jazz festival in October, and I thought about the interconnection between jazz and poetry and art, and I've just been told it's been accepted for publication, so I'm well delighted. Simple title, Jazz. White noise enters this city when you are not looking. A stolen moment as you observe the street lamps bend and twist to the light like giant tuning forks. You tune into jazz, where a point on an uncertain coil improvises with mingers and unrelenting November rain. Bass notes fall through pavement cracks and weave between shadows as the night wraps you in black. This city is art, visual art, jazz art, word art, a fusion of colour and form that seduces expectation and plays with your senses. On French Church Street, words dance across the tongue of the unknown. Rhythms choreographed in blue and red, as tangible as the grey of silence at the edge of your breath. Abstraction collides with realism. Minimalism entices solitude. At the keys, impressionism leaves no canvas. As dawn's magenta, orange, and violet bleed into each other, waiting for the girl with music in her eyes.
Thank you. Thank you. Well done with that poem. And next we have Deirdre. Deirdre?
Hi, Sue. Okay, so this poem is called 9 to 5. My day is 9 to 5. My words are 9 to 5. And so I stay up late and force away the enforced ways. Allow the weeds to grow. Kiss and sting, scratches the skin, stay away. What do you hide? What's fragile inside? Creep over the shoulder and far away, find some places you belong. What's wrong with here? Absence of fear. And when the tarry black becomes an open doorway, welcoming, unobtrusive. And when the composer's score plays music way beyond the fields of song, then I wonder, is this a cage? In which we can escape when the bars of conformity are bent right out of shape. Thank you.
Thank you, Deirdre. And next we have Seamus Harrington.
Thanks, Sue. Moments. Broken white lines pass under the fender, each a split second, a winking cat eye, no time to ponder, past here and now. Cook's Northwest Passage. This is the first time I read this month. Cook's Northwest Passage. Cotton plateau, then peaks and slopes, puffed and fluffed on ephemeral plains, deserted, Icarus eye view, ice caps burnished, tawny, fractured and crusty. How long more can this last? The midnight blade hacks into a ledge to find purchase under the overhang and avalanche of immense whiteness starts to crumble, then tumble in sweet silence, slipping down the sheer face, past stalactites, will-o'-the-wisps of froth, down frosted floes to land across the mouth of the fjord, the wedge shape of attrition eating into those honeycombed caverns, those canyons, pale as egg white, down into blue glazed flats of Wedgwood. Ah, baked Alaska.
I could do with some baked Alaska now. Next we have Max Green, a lady of many talents. I think she's going to do something with music tonight.
She can put it, I don't know. Sorry, no, just bear with me. I can move fast. Very little introduction now. This is because Mikhail said to me the last night, you'll have to do something with me. So I wrote this song for Mikhail because he plays the tune of the Johar. I thought it was super.
Not for me. hell, that's not a hope. You take your rights off, it's in your dock.
I still have reservations we can't see. That's everybody else but you and me.
Really, lots of talent here between Max throwing for us and now singing. Well done. Next, we have Frankie.
Oddly enough, French Church Street gets a second mention. sitting at the CAF 14A French Church Street, in the palpitating heart of Cork City, a man wearing his Sunday best, low check shirt, button to the neck, black tie, so tight he dribbles into his coffee, a cheap anorak, ghastly look on his face, pale, drawn, skeletal. Mumbling some words, wraps his cold hands around the warm cup of coffee. A cold, cloudy January day, twilight in his eyes as the evening descends into darkness. I remember this man from years ago, fond of a drink, often seen scraping the walls and laughing, but never a nasty type, no looking medicated, without permission, without consent. A wreck. When he says hello, the dead can hear him. He tends to shout rather than whisper, in a thick Corkonian Northside accent. I don't know his name, he never fails to shout hello. Looking up from under his eyelids, trance-like, lifeless stare, eyes sunken into his head, drags on cigarette after cigarette, nicotine-stained fingers, discoloured teeth, a nice poor bollocks nonetheless. Some other son, a victim of some fucked-up legal dealer in his surgery, fed him the drugs, told him the lies, just to get him off his back, never told him the pitfalls, never mentioned darkest hell.
Thank you, Frankie. Thank you very much. Next we have Patricia Walsh.
Thank you, Susan. It's called Strange Gods Before Me. Hiding blood stains on your working clothes, you pirouette against something powerful, and all your friends will laugh as you bleed for sake of bad timing. Yet there's a method to your madness, staring death in the face and laughing. But seriously, folks, settle down until this spurting goes into contrition. A god before me, appealing, sunlight burning through it like a martyr, blissful sun of reward. You suffer on, elated. I hope a slap is better than none. There are strange gods before me. I can pick and choose an equidistant salvation. A photogenic saviour is all I need. Bottle-eyed blonde, a saviourly redemption. Certain women are lunatics, you say. By laws of attraction, who cares? A paleolithic meal, best for your soul, preps you up for the table at no extra cost. One sick puppy later, on the floor of a cell, screaming mercy, a fledgling soul. A ligature of beauty stands erect. It tests me to other gods, a joy forever. Choreography, of course, is another matter factor. Dance on the pinhead every day of life. Crystalline theory, protective soul. A personal saviour with all the trimmings. It's worse than when Elvis married. Scrub away those tears with a Brillo pad. When the bull goes on, say nothing. It's only afterwards you'll feel the pain. So much for sport, bloody at that. What's in your hands can't redeem you. Even if it's your own, a rotting duck, a stained bed sheet, a testimony to your actions. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Patricia. Next we have Matthew Moynihan.
Wear the hat makes me look far more cultured than I actually am. It's a blogspot post called What's So Social About Social Networking Anyway? What's so social about social networking anyway? To consider this generation's online antics as social, we would have to broaden the definition of socializing to include the following: the anonymous demoralization and bullying of thousands of teenagers online, the inherent prostitution and sexualization of young men and women, and finally, the countless pointless hours we spend glued to our computer screen week in, week out, instead of being out with our friends, justifying the true definition of socialising. We see it year in, year out, the tragic publicity surrounding yet another teenage suicide related to anonymous vulgar cyberbullying. As always, the papers and media outlets chew the story up and spit it out, contaminating the people with dramatic accounts of the tragic story in order to make a quick buck. This disgusts me. If the editors of these newspapers were actually pushing for social change rather than trying to sell a dramatic story, something tangible would have been done by now. Something that would prevent the heartbreaking deaths of those too young and too vulnerable to see past these pointless hate messages written by scum who are there better than in every way. Ask FM would be shut down. Tagged would be shut down. Slaying Girl wouldn't have infested our news feeds. Clearly, the use of these websites is a shining example of our young people these days. So brilliant, so social. How many varnished coffins must we bury before there is true change? Yet this isn't even the most worrying sign in this curious age of social networking. The most worrying sign has to be the sexualization of young men and women to the point where websites like Twitter, Bebo, and more recently Facebook are becoming a plentiful habitat for the paedophiles in our society. I mean, who doesn't remember Bebo Stunna's 2K7 and the likes, where barely teenage girls would plaster themselves with makeup, show off their cleavage, and somehow try and make it socially acceptable by pulling a duck face? This is the sort of behaviour that ignites reactions from predators ranging from Jimmy Savile to Larry Murphy. Is it really worth it? What we must ask now is what caused this shift in our idea of what is social and what is antisocial? Was it peer pressure? No. Was it Miley Cyrus, Rihanna, Lady Gaga, Talisa, or even Paris Hilton with her porn video? Or was it the social networks themselves? On Facebook, people have developed an obsession with acquiring likes by friends. I have 3,000 friends on Facebook, one naive teenage girl would interject. Really, and how many of them have you seen in the, say, past 10 years? So, who gets the most likes? Is it you? Is it me? Certainly not. It's the teenage boys and girls who bare their flesh to the world in the hope of one day becoming Facebook famous. How bleak is this shift? How social is this shift? Sitting behind your computer screen posting verbal and visual diarrhea is certainly not social. It's terrifying, infectious, and unhygienic to the young and vulnerable in our society. The way in which we are currently using social networking is destroying our morals, ethics, and ultimately our identity as a generation. It needs to change. Finally, we have to begin to recognize the pointlessness of these wasted hours we spend glued to a computer screen, throwing valuable minutes of our lives down the toilet and flushing it as soon as we sign in. We could be out chatting with our friends face to face, seeing the green irises of their eyes, rather than the green LED that signifies that they're online. We could be having a drink, we could be at the cinema, or even playing sport. But instead, we sit watching the virtual world pass by on our news feeds. It would be fine if your statuses were humorous, intelligent, or vaguely interesting, but instead I log on to find out what your dog had for dinner, or what your nan said when she's drunk. Nobody gives a shit. Stop this madness and let's take back the definition of socializing. To conclude, the man who made social networking what it is today, the CEO of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, is portrayed in the film The Social Network as an arrogant, manipulative social reject who betrays his only friend. If we continue to engage in social networking 24/7, could this be us? So what's so social about social networking anyway? Can't we utilize it in a more moral, ethical way? I'm sure I'm not the only one who believes we can.
Thank you, Matthew. And next we have our five-word challenge winner, Sean Bent.
Well, like the previous speaker, I write a lot about social media, but not with the same spirit. I'm very optimistic about social media and its ability to extend the human experience. This is a poem about social media. It's not positive as such itself, but here it is. It's called Virus Content. I'm destroying the bridge to the person that has been destroying me, were the words she shared with ensnared Instagram followers. Plucked from one of a million content providers, the ones that ask me for my shares and my likes. Analytics I could give them that taste nice, but still leave us all hungrier. I digress. My attention span, my focus on the here, has dropped dramatically the last 5 or so years, as my addiction to social media took over. Defining my worth by likes has made me colder, less empathetic and hyper-self-aware. It's all part of the package, baby, the digital era is here. Feeling lonely, worthless, suicidal, or lost, well, there's an app for that, downloaded at once. I've grown impatient with dated convention, almost as much as with people displaying lack of knowledge for convention at all, but writing atypical on their bio on their blogs. And that would be fine, but spitting snobbery at the labour of their peers, typical, I suppose that's me. Typical Timmy needs to learn his place. Give up the craft and worship your face. But back to my original story. She shared the picture on Instagram and I just stared. And I wondered if ever I said or did a thing to destroy in a simple case of girl texts, boy. We'd met and kissed, flirted and laughed. We said we'd meet again next chance. We texted again, flirted some more. But on the date beat, she seized rapport. No word for days from her phone or Facebook. But her Twitter was active, so no deadly fate had befallen her, thankfully. And yeah, I was worried because it was kind of suddenly she'd ended the story, but I left it there when she shared the picture, because no good can come of this stranger pushing himself through blocks of text, demanding likes, love, and respect.
Thank you. Next we have Kieran McCarthy.
Thanks a lot. This is a monologue for the Strike Theatre. Started with a drink, and I drank in words and words and words from a microphone in poetic form. And the brain took journeys of low peaks and shallow troughs, steep cliffs and sweeping valleys, and applause rang out. And outside we added smoky breath to misting air. Every molecule of chatter had a taste and a smell, and laughter rang out. And conversations deepened, and feet walked into a newing old establishment, where glasses were filled, and the rise of my mind was slow and steady, chewing on the fat of words until near stuff. And music played in the room beyond the candles, and my body was to dance. And as motion beset motion, a journey through the self. There were passing glances and fixed stares and lasting chances and vain cares. And every face that my eyes met smiled at mine, smiling, and my smile grew like a yawn. And a tingle of inspiration reached every extremity of my moving body until motion flowed back to stillness. Rest had come, and deep breath with deep thought. I listened to my drink fill me, and the chair sat still among the echoing bodies as breath rattled from their cages in the throat. And the rise of my mind was like a bird in spring, and so it was until keys came to sing and out the candles. The retracting the breaking waves retracting into a sea of night, where two young girls came crying into sight with low tones as defense from solitary lumbering male abuse, and with the shouts and steps of a free man, he disappeared into silence. And in the elation of my mind, I felt a duty to respond to a low-pitched cry for help. We are without shelter, and all that came to my eyes was the shelter that I had to spare. Come along with me, I'll get you there. And in the retiring rest of home, all that could be heard in a low tone was sounds of praise and thanks. Wet mouths and dry tears gave gestures of desire to a peaking mind. Surely there could be no higher. And bodies touched with the rhythm of waves, until the mind had filled itself until stuffed and the body shone in sweat. I knew that the peak had come, for it plunged into regret, and the morning that they left, they took more than what was offered, stealing from my family. I had known the peak of satisfaction, for it dove deep into despair like a kestrel parting air. Nice one.
Thank you, Carol. And I think you'll be reading here on Friday the 13th at lunchtime, 2 o'clock? No? No? Sorry, got that wrong. Right, okay. Next we have Alma Kelly.
Very much for the yahoo. Funny, this one has like the stitch of green iris from a previous poem, but anyway, it's funny the way they catch up on each other. Pins in his eyes as he furrowed his brow at me, telling me the blanket was on. His posit a prequel to sublimation. No heroics of poetry, but the pleading for pleasure. Puts his head on my shoulder, sniffing at the smell of me like a child refused. He beleaguers me, buries the crown on my head, undoes the flies of my heartstrings, worries the weight of my mouth. I kissed him and held him and wished I had pins for eyes, the soul soldered in by gates of iris green, to take comfort in him without recourse of promises made under the crevasse of the duvet, to marry our flesh without want of anything other than to cover the other in caresses and eiderdown, till the morning returns us to the garden, only the carcass of an apple core thrown to the floor as we fumble to cover ourselves once more.
Thank you, Alma. Pleasure as usual. And next we have Cedric.
Parts. The first part is called Black Hole. Mass production, mass reproduction, mass consumption, mass religion. Misproduction, misconception, messed skin complexion, mass destruction. We are dense, so we collapse upon ourselves as we no longer shine. The second part is that brain named itself. Using one of the patches from a newly found boss, she mended the armor, then proceeded to rub it with dirt. If well concealed, no one should notice she used one of those so rare supplies. Who would know? She climbed back into the exoskeleton, moving shell for a life now so rare. As the thought played in her mind, reeling the memory of the history classes, she could not help but smile at the idea that when out of the machine, the population seemingly doubled. The radio rang. The mission was over. Wildlife had reconquered the space that was once filled with mankind. Green had swallowed down the gray after pink tore itself bloody. Yet, in guilt, she couldn't help but find the sight pretty. She closed the hatch, nested back herself into man's greatest achievement. Shielded from the outside, she turned the volume to classic music. Those niggas in Paris must have seen the best the world had once to offer. The click of the landmine came in thick with a beat.
Thank you, Cedric. And now, last but not least, Michael Weber. On the floor, Mark.
Thank you. Good evening. Last Thursday in the Roundy took place the first official mutant cabaret. For those who haven't been there or didn't hear about it, it's an experimental event that's based on an idea that there's electronic music band. It's trio, but there was two of them. Okay. It doesn't matter. The idea of it is that the electronic music band is improvising with different artists from different shelves. And it would be poets or visual artists or musicians, and these artists and the band, they never met before, so the show is quite unique and unusual, and I like the idea so much that I want to improvise with myself. By saying a poem. Robert Frost, Robert Lee Frost, Fire and Ice. It's too loud. Rough, rough. Rough, rough. Desire, I hold with those who favor fire. Mm-hmm.
think I know enough of hate to say that for destruction, ice is also great. It would suffice.
Very much good.